All right, let's get it on. I'm Mike Boyle, and welcome to a special edition of The Restaurant Show, where we talk about restaurants, travel, movies, sports, books, and television shows. Yes, indeedy. Over the 35 years I've been on the air, we've had the biggest of the big in the restaurant business, whether corporate or independent. Travel segment of The Restaurant Show. We've taken people all over the world. We've taken them to Hawaii and Mexico and all over the Caribbean and the River Rhine and more and more. When we talk about movies, we talk about books. We've had the biggest. We've had Steve Barry and we've had Brad Thor and David Baldacci, and I could go on and on. Janet Ivanovich, I could go on and on. But I couldn't be more thrilled because about few weeks ago, I got a call from a listener, and he said, I know you like television shows. I know you don't like much network show. You like to get off the grid a little bit. Have you heard of a television show, a documentary at 1 hour and 16 minutes called The National Anthem Girl? I have not heard about it. Tell me about it. And he made it so appealing that it was about 24 hours later that I brought it up on television, and I absolutely loved it. Because you know what? I would say this. Whatever commonality we have here on the Mike Boyle shows, it is that we stand for the flag, we kneel for the cross. We love this country, and I've got a young lady with me that has demonstrated that over and over and over again. Her name is Janine Stang. Janine, J-A-N-I-N-E, Stang, S-T-A-N-G-E, and the television show is called National Anthem Girl. Janine, welcome to the show. I have to tell you, with all the people I've had on, with all the group trips we've taken, with all the things we've done in 35 years, I am thrilled to be talking to you. When I sent you an email and you got back to me, I was like a kid at Christmas.
I'm so happy to hear that. And you know, not for nothing, but my parents, not a restaurant, but they owned a bagel shop.
Okay.
So there's still some, you know, there's some, what's the right word for that?
Connectivity there.
There you go. Synergy.
Yes, absolutely. So did they enjoy being in the bagel business?
There's a famous line when my dad thought, you know, when he heard about this one bagel shop that was in our area that was closed, he said to my mom, what could there possibly be to opening a bagel shop? And that is his famous line, because whenever we started to realize that we were working 70-hour weeks, which people in the restaurant industry totally understand, my mom would say, what could there possibly be
yes,
to owning a bagel shop? So,
well, and you know what? It's interesting because one of the first things that, you know, having had a steakhouse for 15 years, very successful in Denver years ago, when somebody says to me, I'm thinking about going in the restaurant business, and whether it's they make bagels or cupcakes or have a good green chili, I tell them to read a book called The E-Myth. By Michael Gerber.
Oh yeah.
Have you ever heard? Have you ever heard of the book?
Yes, but I forgot about what it's about.
Well, so it's a classic story of a woman that makes cupcakes for the high school football games, and everybody says you ought to open up a bakery, and she opens up a bakery, and it becomes the entrepreneurial myth. They say that entrepreneurs are people willing to work 16 hours a day for themselves, but don't want to work 8 hours for anybody else. So
my guest,
Janine Stang, and that is not why I got her on the show. We've got to take you, but this sets the tone for this segment of the show. Her name is Janine Stang, more commonly known as the National Anthem Girl. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, not many people get to decide what their own nickname is. We'll be right back with Janine on The Restaurant Show. All right, welcome back to this special edition of the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show. We are talking with Janine Stang, S-T-A-N-G-E, on the recommend. You know what? I call my shows a collaborative effort. Yes, I go on and say, I went to this restaurant. I tried this new dish. I went to this event. I checked out this movie. I watched this television show. I read this book. We'll talk about it on the show. But I love it when you give me suggestions. And the listener up in Longmont that said, have you ever heard of the documentary called National Anthem Girl? I said, nope, I've never heard of it. Told me about it. And I said, I am going to watch that. And I said, you know what? Go big or go home, Mike. Reach out to Janine Stang and see if she will come on the show and share her story. Folks, Babe Ruth was the Sultan of SWAT. And we know that Hulk Hogan was the holster. But you know what? They didn't get to name themselves. They didn't get to decide what they were going to call themselves. But Jeanine Stang one day said, I'm the national anthem girl. You might want to tell that story, Jeanine. Well, you know what? Maybe, you know what? Yeah. In matter of fact, let's leave that on the back burner and let's go back and talk a little bit about you singing the national anthem at a high school athletic event and saying, maybe I should do this in all 50 states. Take the listeners through your background it's fascinating. Yeah.
I had sung the national anthem a bunch of times. Now, fast forward years and years later, it felt like I was out in L.A. Pursuing a music career. And the music industry is not what it used to be. And I was in the middle of, like, when I was working on a career, it was sort of during a transition phase of the industry, it seems. And I was not gaining as much momentum as I would have liked. And then there was a moment where it sort of was like my come to Jesus moment. Mm-hmm. It was after my mom had passed away. Mm-hmm. She had breast cancer. And it was, many people could probably relate, you know, when something like that happens, it rocks your world, but it also makes you think, like, what am I doing with my life? And what is something that I can do that really lines up with who I am? Not necessarily like, oh, I want to be famous and all this other stuff, but more like what's the core values that I feel most aligned with. So I realized at that point that I had sung the national anthem a few times. And then I noticed I sung it at a couple different states. And then I Googled to see if anybody ever sung it at all 50 states as just the idea of, like, this would be my marathon. Right. I don't run.
No, but that's a good. But matter of fact, I was thinking about a marathon because I've run a number of marathons. I've run a 50-mile ultra marathon, and you know what? There is a point, and I'm sure you had it, where I don't care if you've trained 5 miles, 8 miles, 10 miles. If you've had a weekend with a 15-miler, there is some time in a marathon when you're at that 5, 8, 10, 12, 15 mile, and you say, "What the hell have I committed myself to?
Why am I doing this? People think I'm crazy." It definitely happens, but at those times as well, if you stick with it, what's amazing is you will find you have this wind that hits you in the back, and it reminds you of why you're doing it, and did happen to me.
Well, and I think too that with a marathon or a 10K, whatever it happens to be, you know that there is a finish, and so instead of opening up this chapter in your life and saying, I'm going to sing the national anthem in all 50 states. If you leave that open-ended, you can be doing it 25, 30 years later. You had a finishing date. Talk about that.
Yes. So I had no idea that the national anthem was going to turn 200 on September 14, 2014. And when I was kind of meandering through the country, whenever I got enough money to go somewhere, I would go and sing, finding an event, et cetera. But it happened at the time. He was only my boyfriend, but my husband now, he lived in Baltimore. And I was shutting the trunk of the car and saw his license plate said Star Spangled 200. And I was like, what is that? You know, I walked up to the house with my phone looking up, what does this mean? And realized that if I wanted to do this with and tie it to the fact the anthem was turning 200, I needed to really pick up the pace. So I decided that it was the beginning. It was January 2014 that I had 9 months basically to get through the rest of the states. And I was about, I forgot how far, maybe, I don't know how many states I was in, but I knew I had to really turn up the juice.
Her name is Jeanine Stang, and she is the national anthem girl. And for those of you that wonder, for those of you that went to public school, when we taught history, maybe you know. But for those that have gone lately, you may not know. The reason it would be on a Maryland license plate is because it was written by Francis Scott Key at Fort McHenry outside of Baltimore. The rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air. Yep. And so, folks, having toured Fort McHenry, it really makes you feel good. When you see that flag flying over Fort McHenry, you know that there was something significant that took place here. Her name is Janine Stang, and she is called the National Anthem Girl because she sang the national anthem. Listen, sure, there's... I could sing the national anthem in all 50 states. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. But the point is, she's a professional, and she said, I'm going to do it at some event of significance. Maybe baseball, maybe football, maybe lacrosse, maybe a college event, maybe a full stadium, maybe an empty stadium, maybe a car race. So what we're going to do is we're going to come back and we're going to tell you the story of 50 states and the national anthem, and we're going to tell you how she decided to give herself the name the National Anthem Girl. All right, Janine, so we're going to get right back to that, all
right? Sounds good.
All right, I'm Mike Boyle, and you're listening to the Restaurant Travel Movies, Books, Sports, and National Anthem Show. All right, moving on with the National Anthem Girl, Janine Stang. I'm telling you what, I'm having a ball talking to you, young lady. You know, this world is made up of dreamers and doers. There's people that are out there just dreaming all the time, but there's people that get it done. You know what? Mm-hmm. There's people that talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. You talk the talk, you walk the walk. What did your boyfriend say? Thoreau said, most men lead lives of quiet desperation. Not you. You're not a man. That's the quote. But the point is that what did you, when you're walking in with the phone to your boyfriend's home in Maryland and you're looking up that the national anthem turns 200 on September 14th, 2014. It's now January 2014. What did your boyfriend say when you said, I think I'm going to sing the national anthem at a sporting event, major sporting event in all 50 states? What did he have to say?
Well, to be honest, it was something I was already doing, but now I had a definitive deadline.
Mm.
So that was what really made everything line up. And I tell this to people because I'm now a motivational speaker. I speak at events all across the country.
Well, and then and I'll bet you one of the things I'm sorry to interrupt, but I talk about the marathon, you need to have, you know, there's a difference between having a goal and having an objective. Okay, an objective is more open-ended. A goal is something that you can accomplish. So talk a little bit about that as a motivational speaker.
And here's what I also say, because we all love to set goals, but there's a very sad percentage, and that is 92% of people that set goals actually reach them. And what I tell people is, listen, there's a lot of reasons why we set goals and we abandon them, but I really do believe that one of the reasons why we abandon goals is because we don't set goals that have anything to do with our core values. If you don't have any skin in the game, you're not going to fight tooth and nail to get it done.
And unrealistic goals.
Yeah, unrealistic goals. But I also argue that the systems and structure that we need to put in place are a lot of times more important than the goal itself, because we see other people doing things. We see other people on Instagram. It's basically their highlight reel. But we don't see the work that it takes to get it done. And a lot of people would probably think, oh, that must have been so much fun just going around all different states. It was nonstop work. It was like I was a cold caller. I was, because I had to find events, map them out. You could actually see it in the documentary. They replicated my apartment and the wall that I had.
It was your war
wall.
So that
I could see it. Yeah, it was my situation room.
You know what? And listeners, let me tell you something. You know, having worked in professional baseball years ago, professional sports, the number of calls you get from somebody that wants to sing the national anthem, and it may be a professional singer, it may be somebody calling on their behalf, it may be a parent that says, I've got an eighth grader that does a great job on the national anthem. But there's a selection process. Janine can't just call up a professional rodeo in Wyoming and say, I'd like to sing the national anthem, because they want to make sure that you're not Jose Feliciano. They want to make sure that you're doing it the way it's supposed to be done for a rodeo full of good old American good old boys, cowboys. So the process is not just sending out 50 letters to 50 sporting events in 50 states, Janine, and booking it. It's not quite that easy.
No, I think that a lot of people thought I was crazy, too, because I wasn't just calling local events. I was, like, you know, calling Alaska and saying, can I come and sing at your event?
Yeah.
Also, you don't get paid.
And by the way, I don't want you to commit any money to this. I will get myself there. I will incur
right.
the expense.
Right. It was definitely an odder, more interesting call than they probably usually got. So there was that. You build momentum as you keep going. And I always make the joke that everybody thought I was nuts until about state 47. And that's because there was a news station that put my story out. They interviewed me and then it picked up. It went viral, I guess you could say. It got picked up by all the syndicates. And then I had friends who were in Hawaii on vacation. Like, I'm sitting in a cab and I'm watching a story about you. And then somebody in New York City said the same thing. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So then it was a lot easier. People were, sure. I got so many offers, but I already had everything booked up.
You know, Janine, I think that there's also something that's very important. I learned this when I was, I got my MBA at the University of Hawaii. It was a night program, and I worked on the beach. I'm one of the few howlies that's ever worked on Waikiki Beach. I worked with all the local guys, and there were people walking up and down the beach, and this guy's going to be a stockbroker, and this guy's going to be an airline pilot, and I guarantee you, Janine, if we went over to Hawaii today, some of them are still walking up and down the beach. And so, you know what? Yeah. To me, rather than telling somebody what you're going to do, I would prefer, you know, I told you this, I just drove the Alcan Highway. I've always wanted to do it. I loaded the dog in, I drove it all by myself. And I was off the grid for 2 weeks. And when I got back, people said, where have you been? We haven't heard of the show. We haven't heard any video, seen any social media posts, anything. I said, well, I drove. Well, you never told anybody you were going to. I said, because I wanted to make sure I could do it. But you're in the process of telling people, so there was that additional pressure on you to get it done, wasn't
good.
There?
I think in a lot of ways, depending on what goal you're setting. I mean, there's a lot of people that talk about everything they want to do and they do nothing.
Right.
But then there's the other part where once you figure it out, you've lined up the structure and the systems in place to get it done. There is that additional layer of accountability. And if you've told people you're going to do something and you have a shred of integrity, then you're really going to make sure that it happens. And it's an adventure. And I always tell people, you know what? A lot of times we think it's easier to wait until somebody else gives us the green light or the permission. But a lot of times what we really need to do, maybe 100% of the time, is to actually take the step. And then suddenly the way that you just keep saying, I'm going to keep going, there are people that see that determination and then they want to help you. They see it and it's attractive or it's magnetic. They want to get on this.
They live vicariously through you. And I think that's absolutely wonderful. You know, we're talking with Janine Stang, the national anthem girl. So folks, you know, here in Colorado, we complain about the traffic, okay? But let me tell you something. Being a SoCal originally, folks, we've got traffic, but we ain't got Southern California traffic. So anyway, Janine is about to sing the national anthem at Qualcomm Stadium, the old Qualcomm in San Diego. They now have got the beautiful downtown Gaslight District, Petco Stadium, where the Padres play. But she's stuck in traffic trying to get to the game. Why don't you tell the story about how you became who you are?
Out of desperation is how it happened. So I was, as you said, I was very late. And the call time, I had like 10 minutes or whatever before I had to get onto the field. And I knew waiting in line was not going to be the thing that I could do. So I ran up to the gatekeeper, so cut the entire line. And I said, he looked at me like, what are you doing? And probably there were a lot of people that weren't happy either. But I said, you have to let me in. I'm the national anthem girl. This event can't start without me. So he just said, go. And I went. And I remember as I was running, I was thinking, oh, what a perfect name. Because my last name, Stang, is difficult. Some people misspell it Strange. They always introduce me as Janine Strange or Janine Strong or whatever. So I said, oh, how much easier is it just to say National Anthem Girl? And that is how it happened.
I think that that's a great story, and hopefully you've registered that name. And folks, you know, I'm going to have Janine tell you, because I've helped a couple of friends of mine sing the national anthem at Rockies games. I haven't helped them vocally, but I mean, got them booked for it. You know, it's not just a case of parking your car, running in, going to the microphone and singing the national anthem. Most of the singers will go to a little, if it was TV, it would be a green room, a little prep room where they have a chance to maybe warm up their vocal cords. Talk a little bit about, that was obviously a different circumstance, but talk about how you prepare when you get to a game or an event.
Honestly, I think the preparation comes like years, months, way earlier. I one time made a joke.
Are you driving down the freeway just belting it out all by yourself?
No, I don't. I have to be honest. I don't do that. And I think it was also because I wanted to make sure that I never got into that habit of where people psych themselves out. Like, uh-oh, I didn't touch the bat or I didn't touch the wall. So that means I'm going to screw it up. So I threw myself into situations where I had said to a guy one time, I was interviewing on the radio, and I said, you know what? I've sung the song so many times. I will never screw up out of respect for it. But I also know that if somebody called me at 2:00 in the morning and said, you have to sing the national anthem right now, I could do it. Mm-hmm. And I actually got the chance to prove it. A year later, there was a lacrosse event that was called Shootout for Soldiers. They played a game once an hour for 24 hours straight, and I sung the national anthem 24 times in 24 hours straight. So, yes, I did get to sing it exhausted. I've sung it through colds. I've sung it through horrible PA systems. Again, I think it's just a mindset of this is who I am. I'm a professional, and this is what I do, and that's what's important.
Her name is Janine Stang. She is the National Anthem Girl. And if she rolled over at 2:00 in the morning, she could sing the National Anthem. On the other hand, if I rolled over at 2:00 in the morning, I could down an ice cold beer. And so anyway, we're going to go ahead and keep you around because I've got some other things I want to talk about. I love the documentary, folks. It's called National Anthem Girl. It's an hour and 16 minutes. And I will tell you this. I don't want to get sappy here, but it will make you well up. It will make you just proud to be an American. And we want to talk about how many people know the words to the national anthem. We're going to do that with Janine when we come back on the Mike Boyle Restaurant Travel Movies Books, whatever we feel like talking about show, we're talking about the national anthem. All right, moving on here on the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show, we are talking about Janine Stang. You know what, folks? I'm too old to have heroes, but if I was going to start having heroes again, one of them would be Janine, because she sang the heroine, I guess I should say, to be gender correct. But at any rate, she sang the national anthem at major athletic events all across the country, all 50 states, completed it before September 14th, 2014, the 200th year anniversary of Francis Scott Key writing the national anthem as he looked at Fort McHenry being bombarded by the British in the War of 1812. Janine, you said in the documentary that 38%, help me out here, of Americans know the national anthem, or talk about that.
You know what? I think that was a newscaster that figured that out.
Oh, okay.
That was are you referring to Wyoming, or was it Wisconsin or Wyoming? And it was a W. It was Wisconsin. It was Wisconsin that we tested people.
Well, I saw
we went
I
around
saw
in this fair. Yeah, that was fun.
Well, and listeners, I grew up, I'm the son of a retired military officer, now deceased. I went to military school, West Point Prep. I was an Eagle Scout. I was in the Army. I know the national anthem. And I know you stand for the flag. You stand for the national anthem. You take off your hat. You put your hand over your heart. As a veteran, we're entitled to salute when the national anthem is played. But it just kind of bothered me that, you know, when my daughter would go with me to different events, she knew to stand and to put her hand over her heart. And I think that culturally we've lost a little bit of that. Do you agree, Janine?
You know what I have to say, when you actually go to these places and you're in person, it's a beautiful thing. I will say this. I love always when they recognize the Purple Heart recipients that are in the audience.
No question. Absolutely. You bet.
And to see them stand, but knowing that they have sacrificed, whether it's something you can see or something you can't see, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. That they've sacrificed, their family has sacrificed, and they stand there proudly because they were willing to put up to and including their life on the line for us. And I think that that is really the story that I like to tell.
Where did your patriotism come? I know that you put a lot of that on the time you spent being raised with your mother. Was your mother a tremendous patriot?
It was my mom, and I will tell you this. I watched her when I was a kid. This is not something you can fake. When my mom saw that there was somebody that was in the military, that was in the armed force, you know, any kind of veteran or a first responder, she was running the bagel shop at the front of the counter, and she gave them such respect. She always made them feel good. She, in fact, there was some grandparents who they would tell my mom about somebody, you know, their grandchild who was deployed. She would ask for their photo, and she had this little wall in the back by our walk-in refrigerator, taped up photos of all those who were overseas serving at the time, and she would pray for them. Now, that's not something she said, now, Janine, you have to respect our military. It was just something I saw, and the genuineness of it really always hit home for me.
You know,
so that's where it came from.
Well, you know what? We're a little off track here, but I will tell you this. I think that children would do a lot better being raised by not being told what to do, but being shown what to do.
Well, that's 100%. That is 100% the deal, because you could say things all you want, but actions really do speak louder than words.
That took you to a point on your travels where you decided to have a connection at the event, singing the national anthem with the crowd and military personnel stationed all over the world.
Yeah.
Talk about your note desk, your signature desk.
Yeah, so what I did was I had I printed out these blank thank you notes, and I had met with Carolyn Blaschik, who was the founder of Operation Gratitude once, and I had seen that they put these care packages together for our deployed. It's Operation Gratitude. And I asked her if I could collect cards, because I was like, listen, I sing at events, there's thousands of people, could I give you cards that you could put into these packages for deployed people that are written from just people all over the country? And she said, yes, absolutely. So I started to collect cards and ended up collecting thousands and thousands of cards from people all over the country, and I would bring them over to Operation Gratitude and they put them in care packages. What's amazing is now I do something called Janine's Team, and any of your listeners, if they want to be part of it, it's the same thing. Essentially, I hear about veterans who are celebrating milestone birthdays. These are Vietnam, Korean War, World War II veterans, Desert Storm. And I send out the information about each of these veterans, and then people from literally now all over the world send cards to them. And I could give you the information if anybody wants to join that. If you want me to tell you that, I will.
Well, and we do want to give out your website, that's for sure, because we want to make sure that people can see you and what wonderful things you're doing now as a motivational speaker. So we certainly can make sure that we get that out. If you'd like to give it out now, and we can give it out a little bit later as well.
So if they want to join the team, it's easy. Just text USA to 33777. So it's text the letters USA, and then the phone number, quote unquote, is 33777. And that, all you have to do is enter your email address, and then you will get these emails where if you're listening and you have a bunch of students or grandchildren or a business that you would like to get involved in sending these letters, cards, birthday notes to our veterans. It's a beautiful thing, and you're on the website, you could see what actually the veterans look like with all their hundreds of cards. They love it.
And what is your website?
It's simple. It's JanineStang.com. So it's JanineStang.com. Or just type nationalanthemgirl.org. I think that works too.
So have you registered that name? I mean, do we have swag? Do we have merch? Do we have all this?
I didn't feel like it was right to be doing that because it wasn't about marketing it. It was really just about spreading the message that the anthem was turning 200. The name stuck. The National Anthem Girl did stick, but people are like, oh, you're not a kid. You know, it's like National Anthem Girl.
I am a big believer, though. I will tell you this, Janine. People that walk for Alzheimer's or people that ride their bike for leukemia or people that do this, do that. I don't think the good Lord minds you getting a little bit of benefit if you're doing something for the right reason. So,
I get to do is speak. And that is what I feel is that's my job. And I love it. So that's where I get to make living from.
And I can tell you're good at it. All right. So the last state was Tennessee. And by the way, I'm watching this television show. I'm watching the documentary. And I'm saying, yeah. She's at 47, 48. 40. I said, I think Tennessee is the last state. I was so smart. And then it popped up. And so, and of course, you're singing at this stadium. And it's pouring down rain. Talk a little bit about the 50th state and the event.
So you have to watch the documentary to get the full impact.
Yes, ma'am.
I was there, and there was when I first showed up, it was a Titans versus the Minnesota Vikings game. There was a cloud in the sky. And at that moment, I remember earlier in the day, I was getting ready. And, of course, whenever something's happening that's exciting, the first person most people want to tell is their mom. So I couldn't do that. So what I did was what I felt was the next best thing. I told God to tell my mom that I was finishing this big journey. Long story short, about halfway through when I'm singing the anthem, the sky just opened up. It was a huge downpour. We all look like we finished the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge together because that was popular, if you remember at the time.
I do.
And then when I got back to the hotel, they had posted these photos from the AP photos from the event. And there were these pictures, and it was great because the rain looked like sparkles. It was very pretty in the stadium. And there was some person, I have no idea to this day who it was, they wrote, "The rain was tears of joy from the people in heaven." So I always say, if there's one person that's in heaven that can convince God to make it rain, because I heard there wasn't a cloud in the sky in a mile radius from that stadium.
It's the National Anthem Girl, yeah.
It would be my mom. So yeah, that's how that happened. But you got to watch the documentary to get, because they show the visual. It's pretty cool, and it's something I'll never forget. And if anybody's out there that recently lost someone, I would say, and if you wonder, are they there with you during those important moments? Yes. Just look for little signs. You'll see.
I will tell you this, Janine. They may have been tears of joy and they may have looked like sparkles, but about halfway through the national anthem in the documentary, when the clouds open up and it's just dumping.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that that's the first thought that went through my mind, but all right. So this young lady, this is a young lady that had the nerve to say, I'm going to sing the national anthem at events in all 50 states before September 14, 2014, the 200th anniversary of the Star Spangled Banner, the national anthem. This is a young lady that had the nerve to run up to a baseball game at Qualcomm Stadium and tell the usher, the game can't start without me. So anyway, what I'd like you to do, we've got to take a quick break, Janine, but I want you to tell me the most memorable story. And and I think that obviously the challenge of the rainstorm at the Tennessee-Minnesota football game, that obviously had an impact and is certainly very cute in the video, but the documentary. But let's talk about do you have one or two or three stories real quick that just really touched
you? I will try to go quick. there's one story that I will never forget. It was when I was in Montana. Now, I will say this, July 4th, singing in Montana, Red Lodge, Montana.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't get any better than that. But there was this at the card table where people would come to write these cards. There was wind that was starting to kick up, and I didn't have anything to hold all the cards everybody was writing down. And there was a gentleman that came up to the table, and he was watching all of this happen and the wind kicking up and us chasing after the cards trying to get them. And he said, I'm going to be right back. He was very quiet, but he said, I'm going to be right back. And he came back
Janine, I got to take a break. Hold that.
Okay.
But hold that thought. We'll be right back with Janine on the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show. All right, as we wrap up this special hour of the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show, we're talking with Janine Stang, the National Anthem Girl. So she's in Red Lodge, Montana, home of Dade Rodriguez, the Black Hat Cattle Company in Kittredge, Colorado, one of my favorite restaurants and one of my favorite longtime friends. But Janine's in Red Lodge, Montana on the 4th of July, 2014. And the cards that are being written by the kids that are going to go to service people around the world, they're rolling away. And an older gentleman comes up to help you out. Talk about that, Janine.
So he brings this rock. Comes back after a couple of, I would say maybe a half hour. And he found this rock that was in the shape of a heart. And he said, this is from Montana with love. Now, I got to learn a little bit more about Bill.
Did you cry?
I found out that let me tell you what happened was he said to me that did you serve? And he said, no, and I regret it every day of my life. He ended up telling me that when he was 18 years old, a bunch of his friends got on the bus, waved goodbye, and he never saw them again. They went to Vietnam and they passed.
Mm-hmm.
So he said he wishes that he could have been there. Maybe it would have saved their lives. And I said, you know what? This is an example or a lesson. Many of us in our lives, we have regrets. But Bill didn't say, I'm not going to interact with anybody. I'm just going to stay home and be sad. He went out and he did something that kept those cards from getting lost and all those other deployed military getting those cards of gratitude. So in my book, Bill getting out of what he felt was his regret
was
something that helped others. That's right.
All right, folks, and by the way, there's been a lot of studies that show for those of you that are out there and are parents and say, well, I appreciate our freedoms, I appreciate those that are serving, but I don't want my child to go, you know what? It's been proven they stand a little taller, they stand a little straighter. So anyway, so give us another story. What about Alaska? You know, the last frontier.
Oh,
what
boy,
about,
Alaska was what, crazy.
Hawaii?
It was so cold. Hawaii, I sang aboard the USS Missouri, which was amazing. And that was my second to last state. And Alaska, I sang for the Anchorage Bucks, and I still have the sweatshirt they gave me for it. And we almost got stuck inside of the, there was a nature preserve, I forgot the name of the mountain. I'm going to screw it up, so I don't want to say it. But it was 11 p.m., but who knew, because the sun was still up, and they were closing the park. We could have been stuck, and I would have missed my flight. So that happened. Yeah.
So, you know what? Folks, if you've never been up in the land of the midnight sun, you know what? I just got done talking a little bit about on a previous show about driving the Alcan Highway. You know what? It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You've been driving for 6 hours and you say, well, I probably ought to stop, but there's no hotels, there's no restaurants. And oh, by the way, the sun is straight up above you because it doesn't go down until after midnight and it comes up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Folks, if you've never been to Alaska, it's a fascinating place. And I know that Janine would say the same thing. Give me another state that really impressed you. Maybe a Louisiana or maybe down in Mobile, Alabama.
Mobile, Alabama.
We got time for one or two more stories.
All right. So Mobile, Alabama was actually where I began doing the cards, where it was state number 20 and I had brought a bunch of thank you notes and just to watch people. I mean, they were kneeling on the concrete concourse to write these cards and I really realized.
You got something here.
Yeah. So beautiful. Yes. So I got to do that, and I remember it was around 5 o'clock, 5:30, and, the game was starting to wrap up, but I didn't know. And I went to the event director, and I said, do you think I should start heading back to my hotel? Is there going to be a lot of traffic? Because it's around rush hour. well, there's no such thing. They said, unless you're concerned that there's going to be a cow crossing the road, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. So, yeah, live in Mobile, Alabama, if you hate traffic, because apparently there isn't any. Then, no, I did not hit any traffic.
Well, and folks, let me just tell you something. Having been to all 50 states, and I know that Janine has, I think it's fun to take our kids to Disney World, and I think it's fun to go to every major league park. But boy, when you drive around to see this country, you got to drive it. And Mobile,
nothing
Alabama.
Nothing compares.
Mobile interstates. A friend of mine says interstates do not do this country justice. But Mobile, Alabama, watching Martina McBride in concert at their Mardi Gras, which is where the Mardi Gras started. But there's just some tremendous history in this country. And Janine, you not only got to see it, but you are part of it. And I just cannot thank you, thank you, thank you so much, A, for being who you are, but B, for taking the time to make the documentary and to share it with the listeners here. Folks, your text is...
I have to say, I didn't make it. It's Kelly's Filmworks, and they're an amazing company that did it, so I can't take any credit for that at all. I just had to
Yes, we turned it over to the professionals, but the story was there and is important.
So text USA to 33777.
And her website is Janine Stang, JANINESTANG.com. And folks,
S-T-A-N-G-E. Sorry. S-T-A-N-G-E.
Well, and you know what? I got it right in front of me. Why didn't I say the E? But at any rate,
this is why I changed it to National Anthem Girl. You see what I'm talking about, Mike?
Absolutely. And folks, send me an email at mikeandmikeboyle.com if you need the information, if you're driving around and can't write it down. But Janine, this has been fascinating. It's been thrilling. And I cannot thank you enough for sharing your story.
Thank you.
All right. That wraps up this special hour of the Mike Boyle Restaurant Show.